Welcome to the situation report for what day is it? I don't know. It's someday. Someday in June, June 10th. I want to do a mic check because I was having issues earlier. Can you guys hear me okay? I assume my mic's working. Yeah, it says it's working. Let's assume that it's working. Let me check my mic settings. Because it's not a good show without 30 minutes of cursory IT setup. Yeah, it's working. So things are coming hot and heavy. Decided to do a sit rep today because of all the questions about LA. Let me just lay out the scenario for you. So everybody's on the same page. What we're watching right now is exactly what took place in the Russian Revolution, the start of the Russian Revolution in 1915, they're setting up the same conditions. The Russians and, for the most part, the Bolsheviks, aided by, of course, MI6 and the City of London, staged a bunch of protests against the Tsar, and which were disrupted by violence, which caused the military to clamp down, which drove more people to the other side, which is exactly what's going on here. You're seeing already, and I said this would happen. A lot of us said this would happen. If you listen to Bracken, you're listening to Alex Jones. As Alex Jones has come out and said that we've already started the second American Civil War. I'm going to amend that and say that what we've started is the second American Revolution. Because what people don't realize right now is that most of the provocateurs that are Antifa and BLM, they're all paid provocateurs. And they are spreading to blue cities, red cities across the entire country for this No King Day on the 14th, which will be the start of hostilities. And you're hearing, you know, a lot of the social media influencers talk about how the Muslim Brotherhood's going to be involved in this and they're mobilizing all these events. So here's the predictions that I'm hearing. So Dr. David Martin has done three shows now where he has talked about there's going to be an attack on July 4th that's going to be a biological attack that is going to make COVID look like it was just a test run. And Deborah Birx was just appointed to the board of Palantir along with a bunch of other COVID warp speed malcontents. So they're already playing out for Event 501. Why this specific moment in time with the protests is so important is twofold. Number one, you have to set conditions for martial law. Number two, you have to get people mobilized into large groups so that you can spread whatever infectious, you know, pathogen that they're going to spread. This starting in multiple cities across the country and being violent from the start is going to serve three purposes. Number one, it will allow the elite to conduct false flags against the protesters and then blame it on either Trump, conservatives, whichever faction you want to choose. It gives them plausible deniability and galvanizes a part of the public. Now, the second thing it does for you is it mobilizes more people to the streets. And the third thing it does is it justifies martial law. Remember, to usher in the control grid and the new system, they need martial law and they need to take away your civil liberties for your safety. So what a better way to do it? You mobilize all the illegals. And we were all wondering how they were going to do it. Come to find out, and I haven't verified this yet, but ICE was conducting law enforcement raids to break up a money laundering operation in the city of Los Angeles, which prompted all of this mobilization. My guess is, and I've said this before, that the elite, the Clintonistas, et cetera, have used the cartels along with the CIA as their enforcers. And they've mobilized them across the entire United States. And now they're mobilizing the enforcers to be the provocateurs as well as paid provocateurs. And mixed in there, you have some legitimate communists, legitimate socialists. So this is going to get violent. My advice to everybody listening to this is to do three very basic things. Number one, stay out of the conflict space, because there's no there there. You go down, you get into a gunfight, you smoke a bunch of people. Guess what? They're not the people you need to smoke. Number two, have food and water and be ready for critical infrastructure to go down. We've already seen that happen in Europe. There's protests and critical infrastructure went down. So assume that that's the case. Number three, assume that whoever's in the streets are probably very well trained and probably highly efficient with their weapons. So I'll say this, and I've said this to a lot of different people. And I said it to Troop about a year ago. He was working on fighting the city when it comes to supporting the homeless. And I said to him, this is not the fight. The fight is in the legislature to get your bill through. That's the fight. And what he found out is the same thing the American people are realizing right now. And that is, all of the public servants that are in office are paid public servants owned by oligarchs sitting in public seats doing nothing for the American public. And if you think I'm kidding, take a look at just the narrative around the big flaming turd. MTG votes for it. A number of them vote for it. They didn't even read the bill. They have one job. Their one job is to read legislation, pass legislation that's good for the American public, but they haven't done that. And how many times, and I want you to think back, how many times in the past 25 years have the Republicans been in control of the Congress? And in all of those instances where they were in control of the Congress, how many times did they move to repeal the Patriot Act? Did they move to repeal Smith-Munn? Did they move to repeal anything else? They haven't. They're not going to. And the American people are finally starting to wake up to that. They're completely compromised, ineffective, and they're not going to do anything. In fact, they've done nothing since they came to office. And it's plausible deniability for the whole crew. So Congress says, we can't get anything done. We can't make any deals. President says, I couldn't get my bill through because Congress couldn't make a deal. I couldn't get my budget for the border, so I couldn't do mass deportations. Are you starting to see how the game's played? Everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else, but the whole time they're looting the bank vault before the bank closes. And that's what they've been doing for the last 6 years. Only now they're doing it under a different guise. Instead of doing direct payments to NGOs, which goes into their pockets, they're using DOGE as a way to funnel all the money into Palantir and some of the others to create the social and technical grid. So it's the same game. It's just different players that are ushering it in. And people are starting to wake up to it. The fact that, you know, Kash Patel came out this morning, and I chimed in on it too. He came out this morning and said, yeah, we broke up this major child trafficking ring in Southern California. And what was the response you think he got from X? Yep, still no Epstein arrest. Nobody held accountable. Yep, he killed himself. Uh-huh. So the only people who really have to be scared of the FBI that are trafficking children are people that are associated with the blackmail operations in Mossad. Yeah, we get it. We see it. So the public's awake to the fact that the entire Congress is owned by the Israeli lobby and that our foreign policy is controlled by Israel. It's they can't hide it anymore. So what's the best thing you can do when you're in trouble, both politically, economically, and socially? You create a conflict. So everybody's fighting each other. And you create the conflict so that you can obfuscate what you're doing over here. See, look over here. See this? Nothing to see. Just look over here. And they've been doing it now since Trump came into office. And maybe Trump's got good intent. But the fact that Susie Wiles is still sitting there, they put Deborah Birx on the Palantir board, and nobody's been arrested. Every day that goes by, that's going to make people matter and matter and matter. And then when you throw in the mix this whole race war, you know, color revolution, socialist revolution, here's the problem with the socialist and the communist ideology. Americans don't buy it. There's a lot of people that are believers in some of the propaganda, but by and large, the very people that are bitching about this country, bitching about Trump, they don't want a communist government. They don't want to live under communism. They saw, most people like me saw, exactly how that plays out for the Chinese and for the Russians. And they don't want any part of it. That's why they couldn't sell it under Biden. They couldn't sell the censorship. They couldn't sell the totalitarian lockdowns. They couldn't sell it even when they thought they had it in the bag and they had control of all the social media. They couldn't sell it. So they're not going to sell it now. And my prediction in all this is that at some point, those Epstein tapes that, you know, Cash Patel and Bongino and the rest of those, you know, the rest of those assets are saying don't exist are going to show up somewhere. All you need is one tape. One tape of one Hollywood actor, one politician, or one very well-known public figure having sex with a child or worse, and I guarantee you, all that color revolution nonsense will fade into the darkness, and it will all be all about holding people accountable. And it already is. And the only reason the oligarch class cares about what's happening with ICE is that they're disrupting the money laundering operations. They're disrupting the child trafficking operations. Because remember, when Biden came to office, there was about 150,000 kids that were missing in the U.S. Within the first year, that number skyrocketed to 400,000, which means that the intelligence agencies are using the cartels through NGOs to traffic children to all parts of the U.S. Remember, they were bringing 5,000 kids a week into the country and ferrying them via airplane in the middle of the night. That's what this is all about. And if ICE is really doing what I think they're doing, which Tom Homan is one of those guys that would do that, they're going after the source of money laundering and the source of money to fund all those operations. And if that's what they're doing, that would explain a lot of the mobilization. And it would explain why all of these different senior level political officials are coming out against them. But remember, Congress hasn't codified any of the changes in DOGE. Not one. Yeah, Trump has done away with USAID, but he moved it under U.S. state. Why would he do that? He moved it under U.S. state so they had direct control of clandestine operations and funding CIA off-the-books operations, which means we still have off-the-books operations. And you have to ask the question, why? Where are they being conducted, and who's conducting them? And I would surmise for you that the CIA has assumed the role of organized crime, and they are heavily involved in every single one of these protests, from recruitment to payment to organization to training. Soup to nuts, they're involved. And the fact that we haven't heard or seen anything from John Ratcliffe, and there's been no movement or activity in Panama, inquiring minds really want to know. So I'm looking at this through the lens of this is a setup. LA was the test bed. It was the trial case, proof of concept. Now that they've proved the concept, now they're going to expand it across the country. They're going to heavily fund it. This is going to be their one shot. And then after this, if nobody takes the bait, you're going to see it fizzle out, and they'll keep it alive in the cities that they control. Could be 10, could be 20, who knows? But it's going to stay alive for the better part of the summer. The question that we should be asking is how violent is it going to get? And I would surmise to you that it's going to get very violent, and it's going to go kinetic at some point. And why do I say this is not the fight? I say this is not the fight because when you look at the inner cities, most people in the inner cities are too wrapped up and too absorbed in day-to-day. They haven't planned for anything. They don't know how to do anything. They can't survive anything. And most of them don't even have an escape plan. Like, how do I get out of the city if something really bad happens? And as you'll start to see the exodus as this metastasizes and it goes into other areas of big cities, you will see people exiting those areas. They will abandon their homes when the violence gets to a point when the shakedowns get to a point where they can't handle it, then they'll exit the city. I should say those with resources, those without resources will not. They will stay and take the abuse unless they return fire. But either way, they're setting this up for not just Trump's birthday, which is Saturday, not just the Army birthday, which is Saturday. They're setting it up to be a catalyst moment so they can turn public opinion against Trump. And to me, that's just all theater. It's all staged. It's all theater. Everybody's involved in it. Everybody knows it's coming. I don't think there's a left and right. I don't care about the renter in the White House. To me, until they can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have the best interest of this country at heart, I don't give a shit what they say. I don't give a shit what they do. I want to see definitive actions. And every day, every time that Cash Patel or Bongino goes on TV and says, trust us, they just further degrade and denigrate the credibility of the FBI every single time they do it. And it's too bad because they've created this crisis on their own. And had they just come out and said, hey, we got tapes and we can't do anything with them because there's too many crimes being committed. Because remember, Bondi came out and said, there's hundreds of tapes of sex with children. And then Cash comes out and says, yeah, there's really nothing we could prosecute anybody with. Who do you believe? And maybe this is a psyop just to discredit the FBI and to justify creating a national police force, which is what they've always wanted anyway. I mean, think about it from a lot of different perspectives. Don't look at it from the perspective of it's just Israel controlling these guys. They have an agenda, and that agenda is to drive the country into a control grid. So the best way to do that is to create a national police force, you know, like the Gestapo, like the Stasi. Just saying. That would be a venue for them to leverage Palantir and that database of profiles across the country. It would explain why they want a database of all Americans, which, by the way, they already have. It's just a formality of them announcing it. See, the way it works is they build it, they deploy it, they test it, they proof it. Then they tell you they're fucking you or they've already fucked you. Right. Yeah, they already fucked you. They're still fucking you after they already told you they were fucking you and they're going to continue fucking you. Okay, that's better. So everything you're seeing right now is a scripted event, from the pre-stage bricks to the actions of all these provocateurs, to the escalation of violence, to the rhetoric coming out of the left and right, to the rhetoric coming out of the White House. It's all the same shit. It's all the same game. And look, if I'm wrong, Trump's a good guy. Hegseth's a good guy. Cash is a good guy. And they come out and they say, you know, we had to play it this way so we could take down the key players that were in the deep state. Okay, my answer's going to be great. Now go fuck yourselves. Because there's 150 million Americans that would gladly pick up arms, go organize and train, even up to the age of 70, to defend this country. And I'm really tired of hearing this nonsense about we have to operate in the shadows to keep the enemy at bay. All you have to do is point out exactly what these people have been doing to children. You release the doomsday tapes, and guess what? Problem solved. The American public will solve that problem for you. But because there's so much, and this is the mentality, just so we're on the same page, that keeps these people from talking. They know that the first person that's arrested and put on trial is going to burn the whole fucking system to the ground. They're going to sing like canaries to the public, to the press, and to anybody who'll listen, to take everybody with them, because that's how petty and narcissistic all of these shitheads are. So do you honestly think that it really matters if we don't burn down the system? I would contest to you that it's more important that we burn the system to the fucking ground now than wait until we're in the midst of a war and the system crumbles on its own weight. Because I'm listening to the rhetoric coming out of the White House. I'm like, whoever's briefing you is a moron. I listen to the rhetoric coming out of Bondi. You're completely inept. I listen to the stuff that Cash Patel is saying. I'm like, why? Why would you go on Sean Ryan or Joe Rogan and say that all the bullshit that you said before was not true? Like, on day one, we're going to release all the Epstein and the JFK files. Okay. you release a binder, then you follow it up with another bullshit story. Then the AG herself says there's hundreds of tapes of sex with children. Then you go on Joe Rogan and say that, oh, no, there's no evidence there to really press any charges. Come on, man. That to me, that looks like it's a scripted event to discredit the FBI. But they could just be that inept or that controlled. I don't know. I know Cash, and I know that's not who the guy is. So I don't know who's under his skin or, you know, worse. But whatever reason he's doing it, he's being told to say these things because I don't think he believes them. And the whole tape about Epstein committing suicide and there's no other tapes and there's new evidence. God, shut up. I just don't care anymore. Arrest somebody already, right? Why isn't Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Hayden, Rice, Holder, why haven't they been arrested yet? Why haven't the Clintons been arrested? There's a mountain of evidence against these people for just pay for play. Not even corruption, not even the child stuff, not even the trafficking stuff, not even the money laundering, not even the collusion in the governments of New Hampshire and Connecticut and in New York City. I mean, come on. Do we have to serve this shit up to you on a silver platter for you to arrest one fucking person? Really? That's why I say it's all show. Because it's delay, 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 delay. You've heard me say that. And so it gets to the fundamental question, which is, when does the gunfire start? When do we pick up arms? And I'll tell you when we pick up arms. When Americans are so uncomfortable that they can't stand to deal with the situation any longer and they have no other options, they have to completely hit rock bottom before they're willing to stand up and fight back. And that's going to be about 5% of the population. There'll be battle-hardened veterans with kids that know how to, you know, operate firearms. It's going to be technical people that know how to counter the drones and all the surveillance. It's going to be people that know how to blow shit up. And I don't mean like, you know, use an M80 to blow shit up. I mean people that know how to build bombs to blow big shit up. And they're going to blow big shit up. That's how I see this going down. And I don't see it happening in the first 2 weeks. Maybe it'll get out of control that fast. But at some point, this will get out of control. And when it does, and people are defending their homes and their neighborhoods, and the federal government's completely on its ass, then it'll get personal. And then it'll dawn on everybody that's in that situation that nobody's coming to help you and that we should have planned ahead. And that's when the real light bulb's going to go off. And I think Matt Bracken said it right. We're at a Fort Sumter moment right now. And I wholeheartedly believe that. If you haven't watched his interview with Alex Jones the other day, I suggest you go watch it. And, you know, the thing I love about Bracken, Yon, and even Luongo is that they're deep thinkers. They look at this stuff strategically and correlate it back to history. And, you know, Burlingame's the same way. They're looking at this from a historical perspective. Everything we're watching right now, every bit of this is right out of Pawns in the Game. If you want to know what's going on, go read Pawns in the Game. I guarantee you, you'll get through with that book and go, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. I see it now. Everybody that I've told to read that book that's read that book has either written me or they PM me and said, you were exactly right. This is exactly what we're seeing. Yes, it is. Politicians are useful idiots. Most of them are completely retarded. They're easily bought. The Chinese were shocked at how easy it was to compromise politicians in the U.S. That should give you all the answer you need about why the political class is completely on their ass. It's because they don't have a moral compass. They don't have any ethos. They're all psychopaths. And look, here's the challenge for the future generations when we get to the other side of this. The challenge is you're going to have to ban religions. And I don't mean all of them, but you're going to have to ban religions. Like, you're going to have to ban the Muslim religion from the U.S. You're going to have to ban some of the other religions as well. Then you're going to have to put a system in place that rewards people for selfless service and literally punishes people for being sociopaths and psychopaths and power-hungry monsters. Because that's what's been attracted by our political system. That's what's been built, propagated, and cultivated in our current political system is psychopaths and sociopaths. And the same thing goes for the greed-based model. I've talked about it 100 times. I don't know what the answer is. It's not socialism. It's not communism. It's not a monarchy. And it's not definitely not a democracy. A republic could work, but yet then you have to go figure out how to scrub the financial system to make sure nobody can get over. And there's a million things that make the financial system dirty. There's a million things that make the political system dirty. And there's a million things that make the social system dirty. You have to solve all those problems if we want to move into a higher level here. And the problem is that what we're going through right now is what we have to go through to get to the next level. And which brings me to another topic. So I've been watching more and more information about disclosure of UFOs, disclosure of aliens, disclosure of underground bases, disclosure of, you know, the disaster cycles. I can't think of the guy's name that was talking about the Book of Enoch on Sean Ryan. I've seen this guy all over YouTube, just came out of nowhere, and he's talking about the Book of Enoch and the disaster cycles predictable based on the astrological signs. That should sound familiar. And then we're right in the midst of another disaster cycle. What if all of this noise is just to keep us distracted because the elite know that they know the date, time, and hour of when the next disaster cycle is going to happen? What if this is all just distraction for that? And what if that disaster cycle in and of itself is enough to cleanse the planet of, let's just say, enough malcontents to start over? You think about the Great Flood. You think about some of the volcanic activity over the years that have wiped out entire civilizations. There's a number of things that could be at play here. And, you know, and when I talked about the disaster cycle before, then the first question people ask them, why are they trying to kill us with chemtrails? Why are they trying to kill us with vaccines? Maybe they're not, maybe they don't think it's a slam dunk. Maybe they don't know exactly what's going to happen, so they're hedging their bets. I don't know. But I look at this whole situation as a precursor to either a main event or to a follow-on event that's the main event. And I think that what we're seeing over the next several days is going to be an escalation of violence, an escalation of propaganda to try and get people into what? The emotional space. If you stay out of the emotional space, you stay out of the conflict zone, and you use your head, you're going to see why I say that. Because there's going to be a lot of dumbasses that want to go rushing in there and, you know, fight the fight. But unless you're organized, unless you have a plan, all you're going to do is get smoked by either law enforcement or the other side. Because they're organized. And if you go down there like, you know, John Wayne, guess what? You're going to be dragged out of there as a dead John Wayne. So hedge your bets. And, you know, the other thing I would say to everybody is the emotional space is where they want you to live. They want you to stay hijacked all the time. So you're emotionally charged, you're energetically charged, and most importantly, you're irrational. When you're irrational, they can manipulate you any way they want. That's the whole game with psychological operations, information warfare, and propaganda. They say, and Trump is a master at it. I love listening to all these, you know, these always Trumpers, because they're like, he's gonna make things awesome. I'm like, really? Name one thing this guy said he was gonna do that wasn't generic. Like, we're gonna have the best military, and it, like, nobody's ever seen. Oh, okay, how are you gonna do that? What does that look like? Does that mean more tanks? Does that mean more aircraft? Does it mean we have shit in space? Does it mean we have more drones in China? Are we gonna rebuild all of our manufacturing capability? What does that look like? It's all these generic slogans that mean nothing and can be interpreted 100 ways, but they mean nothing. Obama was exceptional at it. And the part I'm trying to tell you is people get so emotionally charged when Trump goes up and talks, but he doesn't say anything. All he does is he throws out these hopium lines like, we're going to take Canada. Okay, how are you going to do that? What does that look like? You know? So my point is, they want you to live in the emotional space. That's how they manipulate you. When you step out of the emotional space and you step back from all the riots and all the rhetoric, especially all the racist rhetoric, man, I have never seen so much anti-Semitism in one small post than I did a couple of days ago. And look, we all know that the Jewish faith is not behind all of this. There's Zionists, there's Ashkenazi Jews, there's a whole host of characters. It's not just one religion, but it was like, oh, it's the Jews. You don't know that. There's a few bad actors. You know, there's Rabbi, you know, Schleppowitz that's running around with all the stars and with all the politicians, going to all the cool places. Okay, he could be a Zionist. You don't know. The point is, the rhetoric is working. The propaganda is working. The messaging's working. The narratives are landing with people. And they're doing what? They're responding emotionally. They're responding without any forethought of what they're saying. And the more you allow them to manipulate you by manipulating your emotions and not stepping away from them, especially social media. You don't step away from social media, I guarantee you they're going to get you. You're going to see one thing or one post or one video, and you're going to go high into the right. And it won't take very long. And it's easy to stay there. One of the things that I practice on a regular basis is, and look, since November, I stepped way back from social media because the negativity was killing me, literally killing me. And I couldn't keep up with everything. I couldn't process all the information I was seeing. But more importantly, there was too many things going on to track. And when I step back, I realized the only thing I really care about is, number one, what are they doing with the control grid? What's happening on the ground in Ukraine? Is that going to lead to nuclear war, or is Ukraine going to finally capitulate? Because if Ukraine capitulates, so too does Europe. And if Europe capitulates, it's just a matter of time before that chaos gets here. Everything else is either scripted nonsense or it's just noise. And I made a conscious decision to just spend time with the people I care about and get away from all the noise and only reference social media once or twice a day just to see what the trending stories are. And you'd be amazed at how low and how calm you are when you don't get immersed in it. You look at these people like Bioclandestine and Cat Turd's my favorite because that guy has burned the bridge he's standing on with a blowtorch. And there's a lot of criticism of the guy, and rightfully so. And look, if you can't be in this game if you can't take criticism, right? And I've been called a CIA shill. I've been called a Q hater. I've been called a Trump hater. I've been called a closet Democrat. Pick your adjectives. I've been called all of it. But the point is, I don't get upset about it because for every 10 people that like what I'm talking about, there's going to be 20 that think I'm a shill. And the thing that we all suffer from right now is not just the emotional. It's unity. You can't get unity across anything because of the messaging and the psychological operations are so effective. Look at all the blowback from Sean Ryan and I can't think of Sam's last name, over the bombing down in New Orleans. The blowback from that was unbelievable. And that's the other problem. The reason why there's no unity is there's no source of truth that people can rely on and say, this is a source of truth. And that's the problem. If there was a source of truth, none of these narratives, none of the propaganda, and definitively none of the lies and nonsense from like CNN or MSNBC, they would not resonate with anybody if there was a source of truth. And which lies in the other problem, which is all the sources of truth that could be a gigantic source of truth are shut out by the oligarchs that want control of the information. So that's the reason why we don't have unity. And because of the distrust that's been created over the last 10 years, because of the repeal of Smith-Mundt or the modernization, there's no source of truth for people to hang their hat on. So you can't get two disparate groups of people to come together and find common ground. So what you're seeing is the downstream effects and the second and third order effects of a very effective information campaign that's gone on for a decade. Now it's coming home to roost. Where it's going to go sideways is I think that somebody's going to come out of the woodwork with the doomsday tapes. It's going to implicate a bunch of people, and everybody's going to stop and go, wait a minute, what are we fighting over this for? And look, you're going to have people that are going to self-select to leave the country. That's the intent of part of these raids, is to show graphically that there's no place for you to hide. We can find you. We have the technology, we have the people, we have the firepower to come dig you out and throw you out. A lot of who they're removing are the hardcore criminals and the cartels. That's who they've been targeting first. And I understand why they're doing it. You take all the highly trained, you know, provocateurs and criminals off the grid, then it leaves all the unskilled. And if you go back to Afghanistan, part of Al-Qaeda's problem, part of why Al-Qaeda got, you know, eaten up so fast was they didn't plan for future generations. They planned for one fight, and then they figured after that fight, the Americans would leave. To sound vaguely familiar to the Japanese at Pearl Harbor, one decisive blow and they'll capitulate. And it was just the opposite that happened, which is what's going to happen here. And the other thing that's going to happen is they're going to try and employ AI. But what's the problem with AI? Problem with AI is it can profile, can probably give you some scenarios, but it's not going to accommodate or allow for any ingenuity or any kind of creative thought. That's its Achilles heel. So I'm sure they've war gamed all this out. They've played out how that scenario is going to play out. They know exactly how people are going to respond. But at the end of the day, it's going to be somebody that created that disrupts their whole operation. And the problem with complex operations is it only takes one chink in the armor and you can disrupt the whole damn thing. And that's how I see that going. And I'm saying all this because you're going to see a lot of things happen in a very short period of time. The thing is, don't panic. Take it as it comes. Watch how it develops. Defend your neighborhoods. Defend your family. Stay out of large public gatherings. Stay out of the conflict space and see how it develops. When it's time to fight, you're going to know when that is. When it's time to organize, you're going to know when that is too. And when it's time for everybody to come together, it'll be very clear and people will come together. But until then, until we have unity, there's no point running down there and getting in the fray, because you're just another person disorganized down there spraying bullets. Doesn't do anybody any good. What does people good, what's going to help this country, is for disparate groups of people to come together to help grow, find water, teach kids, take care of kids, protect kids, pass on ethos, and organize. It's the one thing they're the most scared of, is us organizing. And that's where we need to put our focus. Not on following the news, following the cycle, following the noise. It's just noise. It's all it's ever going to be. It's just noise. So keep it in that space. Operate from the space of, what do I think is coming next? Where do I think it's going to hit? Because it's going to affect a lot of parts of the country all at once. So be ready for it. And remember, we still have thousands of military-age, highly trained males in this country. They have not left. And if what I'm hearing from other podcasters is true and the Muslim Brotherhood are organizing, that means you are going to see some terrorist attacks. So let's see how it goes. And let's see what happens in Washington, D.C. this weekend, because that could be very interesting too. Either way, now's the time to prepare. Now's the time to get ahead of your neighbors. Now's the time to keep your eyes open. And now's the time to go through your gear and make sure that everything you need is battle ready. And I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but trust me, when you have it, it's there. When you need it, you're going to be thankful for it. And you're not going to pull out the instructions and figure out how to do it when you're right in the middle of a firefight. You're going to be too busy shitting your pants, screaming like a girl, and running away. So do that beforehand. Last but not least, I'll say this. Pay attention to the signal. The signal is what's developing, where it's developing, how it's developing. Not the who, not the how much, but where, what, and how. Because that will tell you where it's going to go next. That will tell you how they're going to sell it. And that will tell you how fast it's going to happen. That's the signal in all this. Pay attention to the signal and get out of the noise. Because the noise is going to be deafening starting on Saturday. And if things blow up on Saturday and there's a major event, I'll bring the crew together. We'll do a round table and bring all these big brains together and we will have a discussion. Until then, assuming the world doesn't blow up, the aliens don't land, the pole doesn't shift, the zombie apocalypse doesn't happen, I'm going to do a show on Thursday at 2 o'clock from the Path Forward with Tom Luongo and his partner Dexter. And we're going to talk about money management. We're going to talk about where they see the economy going. We're going to talk about what people can do to hedge their bets in this economy, in this environment. And it's not going to be financial advice. This is big picture stuff, right? And at some point, I'm going to get somebody on to walk through menial tasks like balancing your bank account and your checkbook. I think those things are vaguely important because we don't teach it anymore. It's assuming the world doesn't blow up, aliens don't abduct me, and I'm not experimented on, and, you know, a diode jammed in my backside, and I'm dropped into Cleveland after they wipe my memory. Yeah, we'll see. But I'll be back Thursday. Until then, stay out of the emotional space. God bless. One team, one fight.